letter this month about preparations, and this one kind of follows on that particular message about preparation. As I was reading that age-old text that we read every Advent season about preparing the way of the Lord, it jumped out at me what we're preparing for when it says, all people shall see the salvation of God. And salvation means deliverance. Salvation is talking about giving one's life back. So we're preparing for life. So I was thinking about that. What does it take to prepare for life? And it brought me back to the preparations we have when we're expecting a child. And I realized that those preparations were not easy. Even though it's been some time, I remember them well. And this isn't just for the women, but the men who had to deal with these preparations for life. As I was preparing for life and my body was changing, so was my mood and temperament, so much so that the 3-year-old nephew that lived with us realized that if he wanted to live, he had to be nice to Auntie. And we went through all the stages getting ready for this new life to come into the world, and then I began to nest. Have any of you nested or had women that you knew of that nested? That means that everything has to be just so. Someone had kindly lent us a lovely wooden crib. It was an old crib, had been in their family, and they said, we want you to use this crib for your child. My husband, who's pretty good with his hands, looked at this crib and said, there is no way, because there was nothing to put it together. All that equipment had been lost. We just had all the pieces and nothing to put it together. So he said, I'm sorry, honey, we'll buy a new crib. And I promptly burst into tears. No, it's got to be that one, I said. Now, it was not logical, but I was not logical at the time. It just had to be a certain way. And so he just sighed, and he went to the hardware store and found pieces and parts to put this crib together. Any crib would have done. A drawer would have done. It doesn't matter, but it mattered to me. Preparing for life is such an event that you want to do everything possible to make that life that's coming into this world welcome. And it's the same principle that we have as Christians. We are preparing for life. We are preparing to bring the news to people who are in darkness that there's life, to people who have addictions that there's a way out, to people who are hopeless that we can press the restart button every day and have new life in Christ. And that takes preparation. When Bob agreed to go to the fire department, the volunteer fire department, I did not realize how much was involved. I thought, oh, well, you'll have a couple of courses to show you how to, you know, turn the hose on and how to make sure you don't burn up along with the house. I mean, I figured there'd be a couple of things, but for the first few months, almost every night it seemed, he was out in the firefighting course. And it took months of preparation. He'd come home after a day of work and then a day of this training and just collapse into bed. And then I watched as he would go to these calls, and you know, the calls come every once in a while, and sometimes he'd rush to the station and then be called off because it was either a false alarm or they had enough people. But I realized that the preparations are not that we're going to have a call every week, but that he's got to be prepared because maybe in the next few months there might be somebody whose life he will save, and if he's not prepared, he can't do it. You don't want people running and helping in a burning building if they do not have training. They'll get in the way. And it's the same principle when we are preparing to give life to the people around us. We need to be prepared. So how does the Christian get prepared? Well, we prepare ourselves by being in worship. We prepare ourselves every single day when we come to Jesus in prayer. The Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. So when you're in your car, you pray. When you get up in the morning, you pray. Before your feet hit the ground, you pray. At night, we pray. Over meals, we pray. Anytime we have an opportunity, we pray, because that gets us in touch with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It gets us in touch with the Holy Spirit of God. We not only pray, but we prepare our minds with the Word of God. And for some of us, that means going to Bible study. We just ended a terrific study on the Trinity, and we're going to start a new one in January. And if you are available, come to that, because that's preparation. And if you can't prepare by coming to a Bible study, then prepare on your own and look at the Word of God and get it into your lives and hearts. But we also prepare intellectually. The Christian life is not about looking just for heaven. The Christian life is here on earth. And we have to prepare ourselves intellectually. It's not just emotionally and spiritually. I knew of a man once who was not a Christian. He was raised in a home that was not Christian. They never went to church. He decided to go to college, like most young people, and he prepared for agriculture. He had a master's degree in agriculture from Cornell University. Very bright young man. And then, I don't know how it happened, but he entered a church, and he was fully converted. He was fully convinced that Jesus was Lord. And at that time, God called him into ministry, and his family thought he was stark raving out of his mind. Because here he had prepared all those years to be in agriculture, and God called him into ministry, and they thought God was a little nuts too, and that this faith that he had must be very impractical. So he trained to be a pastor, and he got out and started pastoring in a small congregation. It was at that same time that he met up with David Wilkerson, who was starting his ministry in Manhattan for drug addicts. David Wilkerson founded Teen Challenge, which is a program for drug addicts. And he and Dave became friends, and his church used to help Dave out as much as they could. And then David realized something as he was dealing with these drug addicts, that just preaching to them was not enough. Just having stations in Brooklyn and Manhattan was not enough, because these young people would dry out, they get off drugs, and then they go right back into those neighborhoods. And it was too much temptation, and the local churches could not deal with these young people. So David decided that the best way was to take them out of the environment and to get them on a farm. So in faith, he bought a farm in Rarisburg, Pennsylvania. And then they had to look for someone that had a degree in divinity and also who could run a farm. There was only one man who could do that. His name was Frank Reynolds, this young man that I was talking about. And he developed the whole farm program that is still in existence. That was back in 1962, and that farm program is still going on to this day. You see, God never wastes anything. We are preparing for life, and all of your skills, all of your abilities, even the things you say, oh, those don't have any religious implications. Of course they do. Because we're preparing for life. We're preparing to give life to people who sit in darkness. And there's people in Door County that are sitting in darkness, who feel hopeless and helpless. And they might be put in our path, and we'll be able to speak the words of life to them as we prepare our hearts and our minds and our souls for life. It's a wonderful thing to know Jesus, and it's a wonderful thing to share his life with others. and it takes preparation on our part. Are you prepared to show his light and his life around you today? Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that all the things that we prepare for in our intellect, in our emotions, in our prayers, in our devotions, that you use them all to bring life. And I ask that you would help us as we go about this season when there's so many people that feel such hopelessness, that feel such sorrow, that you would help us to bring your light to them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and turn with me to hymn number 268, How Shall I Meet You, Jesus?